Brian on ESPN with the call of the upset in the world of college basketball. Coach K and number 6 Duke on the men's side handed an upset 88-66. North Carolina State getting the win. That loss was Coach K's largest margin against an unranked team in his time as Duke's head coach. And it was Duke's largest loss overall since the 2013 NCAA tournament. Moving on to the NFL, big news broken by our own Adam Schefter yesterday that the league is expected to change the playoff structure for the upcoming season. Under a new proposal as part of the CBA negotiations, 7 teams from each conference would make the playoffs, and only the top seed from each conference would receive a first-round bye. And back to the hardwood. Everybody, we can rejoice and be glad. Tonight, the air quotes second half of the NBA returns after the All-Star break. Some things to keep your eye on in the second half include the Bucks, who have a chance to win 70 games this season, the Lakers and the Clippers battling for LA, and of course, the continued ascent and return of Zion Williamson.
Hey.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless is the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
It's kind of like when I would promise a sack.
But you only did that 9.5 times.
11 and a half times.
Like I said, you only did it 11 and a half times.
Seriously?
I apologize.
That's like a year's worth for me, okay?
It's Golic.
Easy on that, big fella.
And Wingo.
Oh, yeah.
Big fella.
Let's just play Marvin Gaye for the rest of the 3.5 hours of this program, and everybody wins. I just want to point that out. Glad you're with us this morning, as we may be dancing toward a new collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the NFLPA. Remember, the last time we did this, it was ugly. It gave us a 10-year deal, which was great. And brought labor peace for a decade, but that's going to run out after the 2020 season. So we've been hearing a lot over the last couple of days, specifically yesterday from Adam Schefter, about what could be in place. Again, the NFL owners are gathering for a meeting. The NFLPA is having a conference call. So Adam here basically essentially breaking down how close we are to getting this deal done from one perspective.
Well, I think what's happening here right now is that the owners know that they can get this deal done. They believe they can get this deal done. So they're gathering together in force to try to make sure it gets done at the end. Now, the players have to sign off on it. But once the players sign off on it, if they sign off on it in the next week, and I think Roger Goodell would like to have this deal in place at the Combine in Indianapolis next week, it's going to be a transformational collective bargaining agreement that would include, as we knew, 17 regular season games, 3 preseason games, and a transformational postseason where you're now going to have 7 teams in each conference, not 6, go to the postseason. You're going to have 6 wild card games. Imagine 3 wild card games on Saturday, 3 wild card games on Sunday, and only 1 bye per conference.
So that's it in a nutshell. And let's get through a couple of things real quickly. The 3 preseason games instead of 4. I think everybody agrees that's probably makes some sense. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, right?
Yeah, nobody likes preseason games.
Exactly.
Nobody involved.
Remember, there was a time, children, before 1978 when they played 6 preseason games.
Ew.
6 and only 14 regular season games. So
those guys also worked other jobs, probably.
No, not quite. That was back in the 50s, but not back in
the
70s.
I'm just trying to make you feel really old.
Oh, yeah. So the NFL's always worked under the 20-game model, whether it's 6 and 14, 4 and 16, and now potentially 3 and 17. And look, the preseason games are really about the last 5 or 6 people on your roster. That's what the preseason is, except for working out some rust, because most of the starters hardly play anymore.
Exactly. We've seen that from a couple of teams in recent memory. We'll go back to the Rams from a couple of years ago. Everyone's starting to look at that model and say, this is outdated.
Yeah.
We think preserving the health of our starters is more important.
And you know who I think should get all the credit for this in the world, the more I think about it? Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald has skipped before last year. He didn't play at all in the 2017 preseason, nor in all in the 2018 preseason, and was back-to-back defensive player of the year. So there's a shining example out there. Now, granted, not everybody is Aaron Donald.
I was going to say, this is like me saying, you know what? Bill Gates wakes up at 11 a.m. every day. I'm going to wake up. Forget what he does or accomplishes. Forget when he goes to bed. Forget what he eats and anything else that's a part of his day. He wakes up at 11 a.m., so I'm going to start doing that, too, and we can throw around some bees on my name.
So the shiny example would be Aaron Donald, but the caveat there is not everybody is Aaron Donald. But we talked about this earlier, and Adam alluded to it. He said the players need to sign off on this. This is the one chip that the players have. Because basically, because of the way the CBA is constructed and how the league is constructed, the owners basically have the wherewithal to do almost anything they want. We understand that. But the one thing they need the players to sign off on is transitioning from one less preseason game or two less preseason games to more regular season games. That's the one bargaining chip they have. So if I'm the NFLPA and I'm holding out for everything. I want expanded rosters. I want much higher minimum salaries. I want extended health care. I mean, this is everything. This is the one thing that you have as a player in the NFL that the owners need you for. So I would hold out for everything to make sure it is all in place before I even think about voting on this.
100%, because from the owner's side, they're going to be around long enough to reap the benefits of these deals. They own these teams in perpetuity. Like these are in a lot of cases, we see these passed down through generations of families. For the players, you're trying to capitalize on the now and then, and that's why things like taking care of guys down the road, that's why addressing issues that affect more of the players than less. People say, well, why wouldn't they go after something like the franchise tag or anything like that? The minimum that you just mentioned, raising the floor on minimum salaries, affects so many more of the players involved in this process. So it's taking care of all those things. Because on the owner side, they're looking at it the way every other league is right now. Because what do we see? A lot of these leagues changing their playoff formats. A lot of these things moving things around. Why? Because the whole system's flush with cash. Everyone's signing these big TV deals. And so what happens? You mentioned chips on the table. What happens when you're playing blackjack and the dealer's showing a six? Everybody knows that card's supposed to bust. So what am I trying to do? Get money on the table. Get as much money as I can on the table and capitalize right now while I've got the opportunity. That's what the owners want to do. They want to get money on the table. They want to say, we want to add playoff games. We want to add regular season games. Get rid of this pesky preseason BS that nobody likes. We want the ones that we can sell and make money when it's time to re-up on all these TV deals. We're trying to get money on the table right now. So as the player, you got to be the one to go out here and say, all right, I know what you want, and I know what you need to get there, and my body is the gatekeeper. And that is the biggest key in all this, is you're negotiating quite literally with your bodies on the side of the NFL players.
Exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned cash, because one thing follows the other. Because I guarantee you this, once this deal gets done, if it gets done, the next thing that will fall will be new television deals for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
That's the way this worked out in 2011. The NFL and actually the TV partners essentially had their deals in place, but they couldn't get anything done until the lockout was solved. They weren't going to put pen to paper on that. And lo and behold, as soon as that happened, amazingly, not too long after that, hey, NBC, ESPN, Fox, NFL, CBS, they all got those television deals done. So what we're looking at here is one domino for the others to fall, and it is all about money. You brought up a very astute point earlier. This would have gotten the Pittsburgh Steelers in the postseason last year. Cool, I guess. But, I mean, I don't think anybody outside of, you know, the confluence of the three rivers in western Pennsylvania would be clamoring to see more of the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 2019 postseason, which obviously spilled over into 2020. So this is about capitalizing on capital.
Capitalizing on what we always talk about, that football continues to be the most popular thing that we peddle when it comes to North American sports. Yeah. So much so that we're watching XFL games on the weekend. Like, that's how much we crave and desire football. Getting ready to cover the combine coming up here pretty soon. The NFL draft is looming. All of these things, because this sport is so still wildly popular, despite everything that's happened in the last few years where we tried to put a nail in it, it's still the one that's going to get it done. And so I think everybody realizing that is trying to capitalize as best they can.
Listen, this is a really bad time for the football is dying crowd. It's basically what we're saying right now, because this is, it looks like, I talked to somebody with the PA this morning, and basically what they're telling me is this deal is coming to a head in 48 hours one way or another, which tells me that this conference call is going to be about that the NFLPA is going to have with its representatives, and then they'll distribute that information out to the rest of the players, is, look, they believe on some level, I think, this is a deal that they can work with, and maybe it thinks it might be the best deal they've got going forward. The things that we're hearing, huge increases to the players in the revenue split, as Adam Schefter alluded to, which will go up to 48.5%. But where that money goes is interesting. Significant increases in minimum salaries. Benefits going through the roof is a quote here. So I'm curious to what that means, because that to me is the linchpin. And this is the hard part for young players like Jamal Adams.
Right. Who tweeted yesterday and said, more games, more playoff games is more money for everyone involved, basically saying win-win. The tweet has since been deleted because Richard Sherman came along and said, give me a call. It's not that simple.
Correct. So it looks like, from what I'm hearing from the NFLPA side, it's not only about money coming forward now, but money coming later. And also, it also says moving back to take care of former players as well with this deal. So those are the things I'm really curious in if it does get done. And again, it looks like it could get done sometime in the next 48 hours, one way or another. And if it is, I would want to know what the length of the CBA is. How long? Because the last time was a decade. And you go a decade in any sport without any major labor strife, that's a win for everybody. But it feels like, from the player's side, they're getting the things they need for the 17th game, which is a much higher minimum salary, benefits through the roof, and that would obviously, to me, mean much more availability to healthcare. Because right now it runs out 5 years after you stop playing.
Exactly, and I think that's the one thing we mentioned. The owners on their side own these teams in perpetuity.
Correct.
Like barring something the like of which we saw in Carolina, where you have someone sort of unceremoniously ousted in these certain spots, you get to own these teams for a really long time and collect that money. For the player, we know, we've heard the stat on the length of the average career and all this. So what's the best thing you can do if you're going to sacrifice your body for a much shorter term than these people are going to own the team? You got to make sure you're in a position to take care of it and take care of each other as best you can, because we've seen that's become thankfully, much more of a focus now, as people's eyes are kind of wide open to what some of the things that stars of the past, like the players that people grew up watching, have been suffering a lot of times because of the injuries they've taken during football. And so the most you can do to help that, the better.
And the other thing that people need to understand about this is, when people say, oh yeah, the numbers are good, but they're not as good as they used to be, everything's relative in terms of television ratings, right? Because at the end of the day, if everything in television ratings is down, but there's one thing that you can rely on, that one thing, even though the numbers are smaller than they used to be, is still the most valuable thing you can have. In other words, if primetime numbers for sitcoms and dramas and all that are down, and award shows are down, and NFL is relatively the same, even though it's not what it was, it becomes increasingly more valuable because it's the one thing everybody can count on. It's the one thing everybody can take to the bank. I know people are going to be watching this more than anything else. So even though the numbers relatively aren't what they used to be, the idea that it's the one thing that is a constant and that you know is going to turn a profit suddenly makes that thing much more valuable to everybody.
Consistency and stability have value in almost any format, right? Those are the things that you want to be able to rely on, which is also a good reminder because, like you said, those things get rewarded, right?
Yes.
If I know the NFL is going to be here year after year and I know it's going to do a number, I can pretty much guarantee that as a product.
Yes.
I can feel good about that. That is what to keep in mind, because we should almost put together like a checklist of what to know as you go into these CBA discussions for a lot of people, because the one thing that always comes up, and we just mentioned before, the idea of, all right, why wouldn't you go after the franchise tag? That's dumb. Everybody hates it.
Right.
The minimum salaries affect more guys.
Correct.
Also the idea, people saying, well, you need to walk out of here with fully guaranteed contracts and nothing less. Dan Graziano does a really good job anytime these discussions come
Correct.
Up of kind of explaining things out. I cannot say this clearly enough. In no North American sports league, and we're talking about the four majors in a lot of this, not Major League Baseball, not the NBA, not anything else, are guaranteed contracts a part of the collective bargaining agreement. They are not prohibited and they are not required in anyone's collective bargaining agreement.
Yep.
It's about managing risk. The same way, if I can count on the NFL to be a consistent moneymaker for a decade, I can feel a lot better about that. Year to year, the NBA players, because of the lack of risk of injury in that league, it's much more likely that you're going to get out of them what you got out of them last year.
Correct.
We know the